God's word for you is Psalm 22, verses 4 and 5. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried out to you and they were delivered. They trusted in you and they were not disappointed. David remembers the many times when Israel trusted God and were delivered. And then they had escaped from Egypt. It was God himself who brought about their escape. And since then, there were many times that they were delivered from their enemies, from the Canaanites of Arad in Numbers 21, during the Moabite seduction in the days of Balaam in Numbers 25, the Canaanites in Jericho in Joshua 6, and the Canaanites of Ai in Joshua 8, the five Amorite kings when the sun stood still in Joshua 10, the 31 kings listed in Joshua 12, the Arameans in the days of Othniel, the first great judge in Judges 3. And then there was the king of Hazor in the days of Deborah, Judges 4, the Midianites in the days of Gideon, Judges 6, the Ammonites in the days of Jephthah, Judges 11, and the Philistines in the days of Samson in Judges 16, and Saul's victory over the Ammonites in 1 Samuel 11. The list just keeps going and going. And if shortly after that last one, if David is thinking of his own victory over Goliath the Philistine in the Valley of Elah, he doesn't do anything to even allude to it. In fact, David humbly omits any mention of Goliath in any of his psalms, although the incident appears from time to time in the text of 1 Samuel after the account in chapter 17. It's brought up again in chapter 21, chapter 22, and 1 Chronicles 20. But Israel was delivered, well, from many enemies, especially in the days of the judges. But the flight from Egypt is the most well-known of these deliverances. And naturally, our minds fall to what happened under Moses. Now, David uses two similar words, palat and malat, to describe this gracious delivery. And here's the difference. In verse 4, palat often means to escape, as in Ezekiel 7:16. But here, a special verb form, the pael, emphasizes the one who brought about the escape. And therefore, we've translated, you delivered them, instead of an awkward, you caused them to escape. But in verse 5, the similar word, malat, would normally mean to slip away or escape, as in 1 Samuel 27:1, but here it is passive. And so again, we use delivered as the translation to emphasize that this was carried out on Israel's behalf. So two different Hebrew words, but really the same English translation. Now, Israel did not save themselves. God saved them by his own powerful hand. In the second half of verse 5, the second line, we see that this is divided into two halves that describe our relationship of faith with God. First, they trusted you. Second, they were not disappointed. Literally, the Hebrew says they were not ashamed. In Isaiah 42, the prophet says, those who trust in idols will be turned back in utter shame. But we also know, as in Isaiah 28, that everyone who trusts in the Lord will never be put to shame. Paul likes to quote that verse in Romans 9 and 10, and Peter in 1 Peter 2:6. The Christian will suffer many things in life, shame and sorrow, not the least among them. But theological shame is different. This is the utter condemnation of hell. And for the word shame, let's go back to Adam and Eve, who were unashamed when they were naked in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2:25, which we can understand to mean that they were free from being embarrassed, but more than that, they were free from any condemnation over sin of any kind. There was at that time no temptation to sin, and there was no sin, and therefore there was no guilt, no shame. In their case, there was likewise no shame in their sexual union. They were commanded by God to be fruitful and multiply, which is impossible without sex. That's just Genesis 1:28. But as in all marriages, their sexual union was sinless. As Luther likes to say, a man can't commit adultery with his own wife. So not only was their marital union free from all sin, but also all of their thoughts and words and actions of any kind. They had no sin, no shame, no condemnation until the fall, which came later. But we are no longer free from sin. We're guilty of sin in every thought, every word, each and every action. We live in sin and shame the way that worms live in the mud. Our lives are constantly covered in sin. So how is it that we can live apart from the shame and the guilt of sin as David says we do here in the psalm? Well, by trusting in the Lord our God. Our trust is simply faith in Christ. Now, to a child, we say, believe in Jesus. When children are older, we say, believe that Jesus died for your sins. And to adults, depending on their knowledge of the Bible and the epistles and the prophets who explain doctrine to us, we say, believe that Jesus was the atoning sacrifice for your sins and that his life was one of active obedience so that he fulfilled every command of God in your place, and so on. And to those who grasp this, we can go even deeper and analyze every single word of the creeds so that we begin to see the same ringing truth in every part of the Bible. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal, as Isaiah says, Isaiah 26:4. But in my prayers at night, I return to my childhood faith and the same kind of language. I believe in Jesus who died for my sins. And the daily cares over failures, temptations, and sins fall away under the gracious memory of the cross. We are never disappointed in our faith, for Christ has covered our guilt and removed our shame. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.